Ah, non, si on tient une nouvelle pour l'interrupteur.
Okay, reading from Genesis 45. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Make everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honour accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards his brothers talked with him. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Tell your brothers, do this, load your animals, return to the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You are also directed to tell them, do this, take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father and come. Never mind about your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours.' So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he also gave them provisions for their journey. To each of them he gave new clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. And this is what he sent to his father: 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they were leaving, he said to them, 'Don't quarrel on the way.' So they went up out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, 'Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is ruler of all Egypt.' Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived, and Israel said, 'I am convinced. My son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die.'"
Thank you, Joy. Right, good morning everyone. I'm sure you've realised we're carrying on with the Joseph saga, I suppose you could call it. Still can't see an end yet, to be honest, and I thought we might have got somewhere close this week, but no, there's a lot more when I keep looking at it. So I hope you're not getting bored, but God is sort of speaking to me as I'm studying it, and so I hope he speaks to you as well. This morning I've called it The Big Reveal. So the title for this morning is The Big Reveal, in more ways than one, as you'll see. And just as a quick reminder, last time I did You've Been Framed. Joseph framed his brother by putting the money in the sacks once again, and the silver cup in Benjamin's sack, and then sent his own soldiers after them, after he'd let them go and brought them back. And Joseph says that Benjamin must stay as a slave because of the cup being found in his sack. Well, you all know now by now that Benjamin was Joseph's true brother from the same mother. And I wondered if he did that so that he could have time with, you know, Benjamin by himself, maybe when he sent the others away, and sort of, we don't really know, do we? But he chose to put it in Benjamin's sack. The thing was, though, that Judah had guaranteed Benjamin's safety to his father, and to his father Jacob didn't want him to go, seeing as he thought he'd already lost one son, and Judah had guaranteed his safety. And Judah makes a plea before Joseph. We're not going to read it, but if we did, it would be chapter 44, verse 27 to 34. And there he pleads that would Joseph let him take the place of Benjamin, you know, and become the slave and let the other ones go. Judah offers his life as a servant instead of Benjamin. His reason we see in verse 30 to 31. I'm just going to read you that from my version. Excuse me. Now therefore, when I come to your servant my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us that he will die. So your servant will bring down the grey hair of your servant our father with sorrow to the grave. Judah realized that if he went home without Benjamin, having his father thinking that he'd already lost Joseph, then this could well cause his father to die. Maybe his father was already in a bit of a poor condition, and sort of that would sort of tip him over the edge. So he didn't want to do that because he'd made this promise to his father that he would bring Benjamin back. He thought that probably his father might die from a broken heart if they went back without Benjamin. Now, if you think about just at this particular moment, there's a lot of emotion going through Joseph's mind and through the brothers as well. It would be a time of sort of real, you know, something was going to happen, but he didn't know what. He just sort of had them brought back by the soldiers, you know, accused of stealing, as we talked about last time, the famous silver cup of divination had been put in Benjamin's sack. A lot of emotion going off. And then what happens is where we started reading in chapter 45 this morning that Joseph cracks, you know, just then, is then although he intended to keep Benjamin there and send the rest back, something happened to him there and then, didn't he? The emotion sort of just burst out of him. He couldn't hold it any longer. Joseph bursts with emotion. Now, have you ever been trying to stop yourself crying or shouting or getting really mad, and then something just pushes you over the edge and you go, you know, and something snaps, doesn't it? Just at a certain second, it all blurts out what you didn't want to say probably, or you're trying to hold your emotions back and you've been thinking, oh, I've done really well there, and then you suddenly start crying uncontrollably and you can't stop it. Sure, at some time in our lives, we've all been like that, or we'll get like that at some time, that, you know, things just get too much for us. We snap and we just have to, like, you know, out it comes, we just let it all go. And it don't matter who's there, just everyone, you can't help it and you just have to let it go. You start crying or shouting in an uncontrollable or probably embarrassing manner, and then you realise people are watching. And that's exactly what happened to Joseph. This was Joseph's emotion explosion, I'm going to call it. In verse 2 of 25, I just want to read you this. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. That's not a bit of blubbering. That's not sat on his bed crying with his head in his pillow, is it? Joseph wept so loud that the people who were in the palace or wherever he was heard him. I wouldn't be surprised if even Pharaoh heard him from how the story continues later on. So he was proper screaming and wailing, you know, he just let it go, didn't he? So you can imagine that, can't you? Let it all go. Everyone heard him crying. Then what happened was everyone except Joseph's brothers were sent out of his presence. Now, at this particular time, they wouldn't have been allowed to approach Joseph. I've not mentioned this before, but when they came into the presence of somebody, they wouldn't be able to come down, sort of, even to Pharaoh and Neil or even anything anywhere near him. They would be kept at a distance, you know, for safety. And at this time, his brothers would still be sort of far away. As you see in some of the verses later on, he says, come near to me. You know, and he tells them to come. What he says in verse 13 is, I am Joseph. Verse 3, sorry, not verse 13. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. He says, I am Joseph. What a release and what a relief that must have been to Joseph. Because for quite a long time now, he's been keeping the pretense. He didn't know anything about them till they came for the first lot of food. And then since then, he's been keeping the pretense that he didn't know them. Sort of messing about with them, hasn't he? And playing about their lives. And then in this second, what a release and a relief that must have been. Joseph explodes with emotion. His brothers implode with fear. Just the opposite. It says that they could not speak. They were suddenly even more terrified in his presence than before. They were dumbstruck. They couldn't speak. Just like he'd gone, you know, and slapped them. They couldn't get a word out of their mouths. What could they have been thinking at that time? Once again, how could this be? Is this really Joseph? If it is, then surely he's going to punish us for what they've done. They would be expecting it, I would think, wouldn't you? Will he have us killed? Some of the things what they were feeling were probably guilt and fear and dread and shame at that particular second. Up to then, they may not even have thought about Joseph much. They certainly hadn't realised that it was Joseph that they were talking to, as Pharaoh's right-hand man had there. And then all of a sudden, boom, Joseph's back in their lives. They thought that 30-odd years ago they had got rid of him, you know, and he's come back. Then in verse 4, Joseph says, come near. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Those words, I am Joseph, your brother, up to there, it could have been someone else saying it, but then when he said, who you sold into slavery, that put him right in the picture, didn't it? There was no one else that could know that, you know, except Joseph, because the brothers obviously must have had a pact of silence because they wouldn't want anyone finding out, would they? Especially his father. Yeah. So until he said, who you sold into slavery, then they knew for no doubt that it was Joseph. If they knew it was him, what would he do? Surely he would punish them, you would think. Well, then comes verse 5. And to be honest, this morning I'm not going to get a lot further than verse 5 because where I saw in there sort of stopped me in my tracks a little bit. But then comes verse 5. This is the PPI of this part of Joseph's life. You know, the point when everything once again turns around and revolves. I think that this is the best verse in chapter 45. Yeah. And then we're going to look at it a little bit and you'll see why. I'll just read you verse 5 from this version. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. And that's a fantastic verse. Two significant things there would have happened. Maybe if you really studied it. There's probably a lot more things, but I just want to look at two this morning. First of all, Joseph says, don't be grieved or angry with yourselves for selling me. What was happening here? True, heartfelt forgiveness from Joseph. He truly forgave them, didn't he? Because he was telling them not to be grieved, not to be angry with themselves about selling him into slavery. Exactly the words that they need to hear, weren't it? They must have been trembling. They couldn't even speak. They were that scared. Probably wondering, like we said, what he was going to do to them. And then Joseph comes out with these words. Don't be grieved. Don't be angry with what you've done. Heartfelt forgiveness, I think, was there from Joseph. He truly meant it and gave them forgiveness at that point. If you think about it, Joseph wasn't only in his brother's presence to start with, was he? And even when he sent the other people out, who was there with Joseph and his brothers? God, exactly. Joseph wasn't only in his brother's presence, he was in God's presence as well, wasn't he? He knew that all he could do was to forgive. So if you think about Joseph, his emotional life. First, Joseph had to let go of the past. Then release the emotion that were pent up inside him before God and his brothers. Then God put in Joseph's heart the ability to forgive when he released what was in there. And in this I see a principle of forgiveness for us to follow, or another principle of forgiveness, because there's plenty in the Bible, isn't there? First of all, let go of the past hurts. That's probably the hard bit, isn't it? Letting go of the hurt. Secondly, release our emotions before God. Sometimes that is in prayer, sometimes it's just in wailing and shouting and crying. Thirdly, receive God's heart of forgiveness towards the person who hurt us. That is not our forgiveness, that is the heart of God coming through us and giving us the ability to forgive someone who's really hurt us. And then fourthly, let them know you have forgiven them. And I put in brackets privately, not in an embarrassing way. Because it's not really forgiving someone if you shout it out from the front of the church or wherever is it, but go to that person and or whoever it is, you know, and talk to them privately and just let them know. Good principle for forgiveness, isn't it there? The second significant point which I see in verse 5, it's in the second half. God sent me before you to preserve life. This is Joseph talking to his brothers, remember. Joseph's statement was, God sent me before you to preserve life. Somewhere, somehow, God had revealed the reason everything had happened to Joseph. In between these last few chapters, it had clicked. You know, Joseph had suddenly understood that all of this was for what we're going to look at now. It wasn't just about him, it wasn't just about his family, it was about much more than that, as we're going to see a little bit as we go on. Joseph knew, I don't know if it was all of a sudden there or he'd been thinking about it previously and it came out there, that it was all God's plan. Every detail. And without the sale into slavery, and before that, even without the dream, none of this would have happened. Joseph would have never ever been in Egypt if it wasn't for the dream, would he? It was all the start of it. God had planned it so that God, through Joseph, could preserve life. That is the story of Joseph. That's what Joseph is about. And it's easily missed in the story, isn't it, that through Joseph, life was preserved in a big way. All God's glory, yeah. As we're going to look at Joseph, God worked through Joseph so that life could be preserved. Not only Joseph or his brothers and parents, which the story seems to be all about, isn't it? Not only Pharaoh and the Egyptian people, but millions of people were saved from starvation by Joseph's God-revealed and directed plans. Millions. Most of the known world, in fact. The famine was so severe, as I've talked about before. A famine that lasts 7 years isn't a little famine, is it? And everyone was flocking to Egypt to try and get food. That means nobody else had any. So Egypt, through Pharaoh, through Joseph, through God, was the saviour of the known world. This was preserving life in a big way. Finally, it's clear to Joseph why things had happened. Have we ever had this type of moment in our Christian life? Finally, after maybe many years, I see, I know, I realize what God was doing, why God did it in that way. A God-given revelation, and suddenly everything becomes clear. It was about a God-given dream. It was about a journey with God. It was about forgiveness. It was about a famine. But really, it was all about God preserving life. The life of mankind, and Joseph, and his family, and Pharaoh were all part of God's plan to save the people. You see, what we sometimes forget is, for God so loved the world, not only us, but everybody. We're only a very small percentage of the world, aren't we? That he gave his son. It was no different here. God was finding a way of preserving the world, preserving mankind. What might have happened? Have you ever thought what might have happened if God hadn't called Joseph? Probably would have had to call someone else, but if the whole Joseph story was missed, would the administration have been in place to sort of manage the famine as it had? You know, would there be millions and millions of people that have starved to death because of it? God was preserving life in more than one way. And in this is a lesson for all of us to remember that however far we are on the dream cycle God has given us, it's all God's plan to bring preserving life to mankind. We're just part of it. And no matter how dramatic the parts of our life get, the outcome is still the same, and the reason that God has called us is still the same, isn't it? God wants to use you and me and our dreams and lives to see others saved and forgiven and to know God and to have a relationship restored. That's what it's all about. That's what Joseph is all about. That's what every story in the Bible is all about. You know, that he says that whatever happens in our lives, we're heading towards and wanting to be people who bring other people to Christ, aren't we? Yeah. All the incredible miracles and revelations, all the dark and lonely and fearful times in our lives, all the party and the sorrow times, all the perfect and all the things that we don't like, it's all in the plan, isn't it? And the plan is for God to use us to bring salvation to others, as it says in this verse, in verse 5, to preserve life. And it's more than just spiritual life. By you bringing someone to know God, you've saved them through eternity, haven't you? You've preserved their life forever. I mean, it's not our power, is it? And it's nothing that we can do, but we can lead them. Joseph realized it in verse 5. Have we realized it yet? The whole reason for God choosing us and the plan that we run and the road that we run in our lives is so that in some way we can reveal his glory, in some way we can reveal his salvation. God sent Joseph to Egypt, not his brothers. Joseph was the chosen man, wasn't he? And at sometimes you might think in your life, well, why would God choose me? Well, why would God choose Joseph? You know, he's only one of 12 brothers. He was the youngest at that time. So why would God choose Joseph? The big reveal was not really about Joseph and his family, even though that happens. And as I said in a previous week, sometimes the big reveal turns out to be nothing really. It was all about the journey and the things what happened getting there. But the big reveal wasn't really about Joseph and his family. It was really about God revealing himself to Joseph and his family first, to Pharaoh, the higher power of that day, and to all mankind at that time. Because really, God, I can't imagine Joseph not saying that it was God that did this in him. You know, so God was getting the glory in a heathen country where they didn't even believe in God, the very God that was sending the famine, the very God that was saving them. that was preserving their lives. It was and is all about God revealing his plan to preserve life to us, to authorities, to mankind, to Satan, to everyone. It's all about salvation. That's the big reveal. Amen.